And now that you're here, we're all in good company. So let's get going with another episode from The Wine Merchant. I'm Sam.
And I'm Ted.
Hi, how are you?
And I'm laughing at the hey. That's a good way to start. Hey.
Hey. How you doing? Hey. It reminds me of something I just saw with Rita Moreno. And when she was on that PBS show called The Electric Company for Kids. And she used to say, hey, you guys, to start off the show.
So you're becoming a Rita Moreno fan?
No, I don't. I will never approach that. No. It just reminds me, like, hey.
What did she say? Hey, you guys?
Yeah, she'd call out like a kid saying, hey, you guys, calling, you know. And all the little kids tune into PBS.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we are. We're back. Claire has been talking about, she's ready, she's raring to go, we can do this, we can chase down the counterfeiters and protect the terroir and the wine.
Here we go,
I tell you,
she's putting on that little cape again. The W cape, if you see it anywhere, let us know.
Everybody's coming to Laurent with their suspicions and observations and so. Madam Mayor, I think is, or, you know, the honorable governor of the Champagne. Laurent should have a title.
The Marie.
Yeah, the Marie. Okay, in this diary entry that Claire has sent, she's given it a title, Grand Opening.
Mm.
Okay, Claire.
Well, she does have a store to open, doesn't she?
Yeah, her shop. It's going to be called The Wine Merchant.
Right.
Here we are. Let's go. On one hand, Claire says, on one hand, I can't believe how much time has passed since I resigned from my job. On the other, it feels as though I was suspended in time on Natalie's vineyard for years. I hear you. I hear you, Claire.
Time has a way, doesn't it?
You know, I think we've all been in a time warp this last year and two, right?
But things are getting better.
Yep. Sun's out. Claire says, I did enjoy the time off, and I loved working on the barn remodel, not to mention all that vineyard work through the worst months of the pandemic. It was a great place to be during that time, and I still can't believe that we pulled off the entire harvest on our own. To be honest, she says, I don't think Natalie can believe it either. What she's talking about there is they couldn't get the help they needed to do all the grape harvesting because of the pandemic shutdown.
So they had to do it all their own.
So it was Barrett who said, well, we're going to shift our schedule and we'll, like, I think they started picking at midnight or something and they picked when it was cool.
Right, when it was cooler.
Yeah. And they shuttled everything on the little ATVs and,
Now she has yet another skill to add to her resume.
What, grape picker?
Grape picker. No, they would call it grape worker, grape picker.
I don't know. Whatever.
Okay.
So Claire liked working outside and doing all that. And if you remember, it wasn't that many diary entries ago that Claire was not being very good about getting to her business plan, and it took Grace and company to do it. Claire says, but we did harvest the grapes she's talking about, but we did, and it really was one of my best all-time experiences, right up there with times like when I used to make breakfast with Laurent and then we'd eat it together down on the dock on those early summer mornings way back when.
Oh, that's such a fond memory.
Yeah.
I remember that was a really beautiful piece.
It was the lost bread story, Pain Perdu. Oh, that
go
was
back
so sweet.
And check it out if you haven't read it.
that was early on in the first season, I think. And she goes on, she says, oh, and then there's Grace and Sid, their arrival at Natalie's vineyard, and that long Airstream trailer, when it emerged from a massive cloud of dust. It looked like something off an old movie set. I cannot begin to imagine improving on the impact of that visual. It was so Grace. And it will always be a great story to tell with all of the detail. And now I have to remind myself occasionally that I've joined these four women in their business while launching my own. Really, if anyone described this scenario to me, I'd laugh at them and then worry if they were of sound mind. She says, I still have some mornings when I've just come into consciousness and suddenly remember that this situation is most definitely not a dream.
That's true.
So much has happened in these last 2 months. I finally got back to France through all of the COVID procedural steps and loops.
Oh, okay. So now she's writing to us from France? I think she is.
Finally.
Yay.
Oh, Claire.
I want to go too.
Yay. She's back. She says, believe me when I say that I was not at all disappointed by the extreme levels of caution. I just wanted to get back as soon as possible without picking up COVID along the way.
Oh, man.
The funny thing is that I remember feeling like a tourist the last time I flew from Paris to California. That's when she went home
right.
to see mom.
Right.
She says, in fact, it was the last time I flew on an airplane. I was so excited to board that plane and to be headed back. And on this day, I was at least as excited as I was then. And I was fairly sure that this time I would not be upgraded to first class by Laurent, or that I'd end up seated next to Alexander. It was a great flight without either one.
The excitement of going back.
No.
Oh, God, I can't wait. Oh. I can taste it. I can feel it.
Oh, man, I got travel feet. Something bad.
Yeah. Soon.
In the next little subtitle, it's killing me. It says, and then France. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. Fast forward 2 months, and I already managed to pull together a respectable-looking wine exporting company with a sign and everything. The wine merchant was now official. And best of all, not far from the Grenot Vineyard or Laurent's farm, which is in the heart of the Champagne region. Of course, Brigitte was a huge help with her insider knowledge back when we were looking for a location. This shop was only the second place I looked at, and I signed the lease that day. We didn't have much to do on the interior because it had almost everything we needed. Authenticity and lots of smooth, worn white oak. I suspect it was an empty space.
I envision this place, yeah.
She says, I think she's going to share a little of that here. She says, just inside the wine merchant's door, you will encounter the air of a friendly cafe, where, sitting next to a stranger at a tiny table, seems as right as roaming the wine racks and reading labels. Almost sounds like a library bookstore kind of atmosphere.
A hangout,
you know?
Place.
Yeah. Brigitte has written brief biographies of the vintners and their properties and then tucked them in alongside the corresponding wines. And she gives us a quote from Brigitte. She says, it's all about the discovery. Use whatever you have to keep them here and talking. You know, it's a lot like that Saturday market theory. The more time they spend with you, the more they talk, and usually they buy more than they intended.
Brigitte, she's such a... It reminds me of a neighborhood, like a little neighborhood pub kind of place.
Yeah.
Cafe, excuse me. We're in the wrong country. People come and they hang out and they drink and chat.
You know, Starbucks just doesn't quite... I mean, I'm sure there are some that feel like that, but...
Well, I think the difference here is you know the people. You go into a Starbucks, you don't know the people. You might know the people who serve you, you know, the baristas and whatnot, because you go very often. There might be one or two people who come every day, and you get to see them. So that's like a little inner circle. But they don't usually talk. You know, they're just kind of stationed with their...
They're just present.
...computer someplace.
Yeah. Oh, I can almost try to zero in on the scent of the place, you know. Early on, she says there was a great deal of consternation because I wanted to add one of those automated tasting systems that dispenses a 1 ounce splash pour. However, and thankfully, Brigitte prevailed. We instead placed a few oak barrels standing on end with a corkscrew attached by a long brass chain. She gives us another quote from Brigitte, and she says, this is most definitely not about efficiency, so please, do try to suppress your American... You know she said that with some disdain, right?
There.
Your American outlook on this. We want them to stay longer and talk more. efficiency is counterproductive here.
Mm. Oh, God, she's so French. But isn't that the way it is in France? You know, you go to a restaurant or a cafe and you sit and there's no one's going
to
bother
it's
you.
It's hard
about
to get
leaving.
Your bill to leave.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I'm there.
Another cultural difference.
Mm. Her skepticism never wanes when it comes to my enthusiasm for all things new. And her French village attitude, well, it never fails to surface, no matter how much she wanted to escape from the place. It's perfect for this cafe and the business, too.
Hmm. Brigitte lays down her little imprint again.
Yeah.
She's a very subtle, she wasn't so subtle with the last statement she made, but she does have a way of injecting her attitude, her vision of what the place should mm-hmm. be like, you know.
Yeah.
Because she's in France. She's not
Her skepticism
else.
Never wins. She's kind of a wise ass. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah. Okay. The next little subtitle is Brigitte. And Claire says, she says, besides being extremely smart and wickedly funny, Brigitte can also be incorrigible at times. We've been working together for a few years now, but I've known her since my summer internship days. After I became a wine buyer, she connected me to the villages and the makers that had been shuttered and locked when I tried to access them on my own. She literally opened doors for me. Bringing her into our business took some doing on my part, though. It ended up being my only do-or-die condition to work with Grace et al. I knew in my heart that she'd be essential and a key to access the people and the places necessary to our work. She was the right woman at the right time, worth waiting for, even if it took months for an investigator to complete her background check. This security measure was a non-negotiable, absolute must for the other members of the wine merchant, and an absurdity as far as I was concerned. As was her usual, Brigitte was nonplussed. She laughed it off, saying that no one, not even 007, could penetrate the secrets of a French village, so there was absolutely nothing to worry about. We agreed to keep that little comment gem to ourselves.
007, huh, Brigitte?
Yeah, Brigitte. It's funny, but don't say it again because you're going to draw all kinds of scrutiny with that kind of commentary, right? Yeah.
Especially when you don't know who's coming into the shop.
Oh, I feel so happy. I'm so happy Claire's in France and Brigitte's there and they've got this
new business
shop.
And
oh.
You know what I was thinking about, just to jump back a little bit? Those signs that people hang outside their stores and their, you know, their establishments. You know, those little tin signs they're cut.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, actually, there's a museum in Paris that is devoted to that.
Oh, but, really?
Yeah, there is. Coverlet, I think it is. But in...
They're cutout metal signs that hang in front of the building, and they designate the...
Like a baguette for a baker.
Yeah,
they
show the vineyard workers, like,
they're
you
beautiful.
Know, the guy who corks the bottles, the people who trim the vines, the pickers, the, you know, all the little activities associated.
The little vigneron's so cute. It's a really cute one. Yeah. But anyway, that used to be the sign that shopkeepers would hang.
So I wonder what the wine merchant would look like. Probably somebody at a table with a pen or something, like
maybe
doing deals, you know.
Maybe we can ask and she'll send us a picture.
I don't know.
But anyway, these signs are everywhere in France.
Some of them are, usually they're just, you know, sort of two-dimensional. It's just cut out metal, like with tin snips kind of thing. They're pretty inventive. Some of them are very three-dimensional. You know, people really get into it. There's one that's like a big horse head. It's on a gîte, and it overlooks from Hautevillers, where they have a few horse stalls, right?
Actually, Hautevillers is the place I was thinking of that has so many of them. Like, every little shop has them. But that's the way it used to be before we got electric signs and neon.
Then I think they got a little fancier with them, and they started adding color with, like, enameled.
Yeah, we have to find some pictures and put them on the site.
See what's in the stash. Okay. Back into the wine merchant shop we'll go. Here we are. The attitude of the place was just right. To conduct business with a few inducements to stay and chat, or to gossip or pass along information. I agree with Brigitte in thinking that this place could easily double as a stopover for resistance fighters. Maybe they are resistance fighters in a way.
Well, in a way they are, right?
Resisting the corporations and the committee, right?
Right.
Sometimes, and with a wink, she plays wartime tunes for background music. Our cheeky inside joke that serves up an air of danger, even if only in our imagination. As a place of business, the wine merchant is more of a cafe and a neighborhood stopover, and the wine and spirit exporting are secondary in appearances only. I intended it to be a place for people in the business, like the late night joints where the chefs and line cooks go after hours to talk shop and eat the best food. This is where everyone learns and talks about what's going on, and the gossip too. It's the environment I knew would be critical to both businesses, exporting and information gathering about the counterfeiters of wines and spirits. When you enter, it feels as though it has been around longer than anyone present. That's an interesting way to say that. This is older
than anybody
here. It
probably has been.
Yeah. I really do love the way it feels with worn but clean and waxed wide plank white oak floors. I can even hear them creak and squeak, you know, that kind of way. We have 10 small tables with those classic cafe chairs, and the standing barrels are scattered about. They never seem to occupy the same place for more than a day or two. I'm especially fond of the way tall wood wine racks that line the walls lend a bit of a library vibe. I said that before, it sounded like a bookstore, didn't it? In the center of this big open space is an island. It's something looking like a bar where we make coffee and a few simple things to eat. Usually it's a long pan bagnette supplied by our bread lady across the street. Okay, this some quick thing here. A pan bagnette or bagna.
Bagna.
Is, I don't know, loosely translated as bathed bread. It's a real peasant thing. They take the leftover stale bread and bits of tomato, pepper, onion, garlic,
cheese,
whatever they have, a little like shavings of meat almost, if there's any, olive oil, a little vinegar, tons of salt and pepper, and it's then squashed together.
Tastes so good.
Oh, man. Cucumber is always part of it.
Right.
I'm sure olives find their way in there. Whatever you have. And just press together so the juices of those vegetables, which are making my mouth water right now, it's almost like a solid version of gazpacho in a way, right? Mm. And they're pressed together, and by the time you have lunch the next day out in the field, it's all softened and delicious and
dripping with olive oil.
Yum, yum, yum.
I can taste it.
So that's a pan bagna, a pan bagna. So they make it across the street from the bread lady. That's kind of cool.
Well, that's the difference, you know.
But that's
having
the village thing,
right?
You know?
Having a village, being in a village, and having
They probably bring it across the street to the wine merchant and say, "Here's the sandwich, and then
here's your weekly allotment."
Oh, I love this. I want to go here.
Living in a village, life is slower. But don't forget, the real reason why this store exists, it has a dual purpose, right? It's, nice and villagey, but it's also trying to get new age counterfeiters and people who aren't doing the right thing involved, too.
You know, this is like the office where you bring your complaints, or, you know, the information begins to flow here, and it's a way for them to keep their finger on the pulse of what's happening, right?
Right.
Okay. Next section. This place feels right. I agree, Claire. This place does feel right. So Claire says, some additional wine stock is stashed in the back, where we always have on hand at least 2 more cases of every bottle we sell. Next to the stockroom, there's a small windowless office behind the back wall where the computer system lives. While anyone can see the obvious and basic security measures, those are more show than function. The real security system is unseen and costs more than all of the stock held in the shop at any one moment. Suddenly turned serious? It's there to protect the computer system that carries and stores our client files. Okay, now I get it. And she says, the fact that the wine and the spirit export files live in my laptop rather than on the network is demonstrative of their importance relative to the client files. Or not. Or not, as she says. Grace insisted on establishing the computer system in France to avoid the tangle of American law, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know all the details, but that's what she told me. I'm still not all that clear about her reasoning on this, but I had no feelings to the contrary, so, you know, why not? I am just in this place. I hope everybody listening is too, right? The other security system, in air quotes, is my overhead office, which is on the mezzanine that overlaps about a third of the main floor below. It truly is amazing how voices carry up from below, even a whisper. You know, it is fun to sort of eavesdrop on
people.
Yeah. We also have a handful of small bistro tables with chairs by the entrance. My third and final system is Remy. Part charcoal gray wolfhound, part rug. He's a fixture by the entrance, greeting everyone who enters. Smarter than anyone might suspect, he visually checks with me whenever someone enters, as if he's asking, "Is this one okay?" It only takes my nod for him to rest his head down, and if not, he stalks the invader until they leave, whereupon he reinstalls himself by the door, just in case of a return. You know, dogs do...
Dogs. I love dogs. I want a dog.
Oh, Remy. Oh, sweet guy. There are times when I wonder if he might have learned to read when I wasn't looking. Even though he is huge, he's very stealth and moves about silently. He rarely barks, and I trust him more than most people. When I look at him now, I can't believe that he started off as a tiny puppy once. Wow. I'm loving this dog. Any thoughts before
we go? He reminds me of the dog in Out of Africa.
Oh,
remember
that's
that dog
right.
In Out of Africa?
Yeah,
who was so obedient, and he was very stealth-like, and he was beautiful. He was a beautiful animal, and he'd ride in the car with her.
That pull cart, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. So Claire continues. She says, every morning, Remy follows me down to the shop where we make coffee. He eats his breakfast, and we wait together for Brigitte to arrive. Once she's there, he takes up his station by the door for the day. Today, however, Remy never had the chance to settle down, because right after I unlocked the entrance and headed up the stairs to the office, someone came in. Normally, if Remy couldn't see me, there was no chance he would let anyone pass by him. Except this time, he led the person right up to the office. Alexander stood there looking slightly embarrassed but relieved. Oh, man.
He's back.
I was thrilled to see him, says Claire. But first, I had to give Remy his okay signal before Alexander could move any closer. My two favorite guys in one place. Oh.
So she gets to go to France and she gets to see Alexander, which is cool.
Earlier in this entry, she mentioned, you know, she had flown to California with him, but this time she didn't have him. But there he is,
just
popped
like
up at the door,
just like a little penny.
Well, you can imagine, yeah, a little bright penny. You can imagine that in a village like this, that everyone, you know, words out.
The bread lady knows who's going in there.
Yeah, and I'm sure it didn't take that long for him to find out if he wasn't told directly. But everybody seems to find out things in those villages. Which, I mean, that's what makes it really nice. I think people who live in this kind of arrangement for a long time get frustrated because everyone knows your business. On the other hand, it's
nice. The original social media. Right? Except it was over the back fence or at the... pictures, or, you know, people want to know what's going on with other people. That's just the nature of things. And don't forget, this is a new shop, so there's going to be some curiosity as to who's running it and what are they doing, and maybe we should all stop by and have a drink. You know, it's a new place in town for them to get together, to gather, as they say.
Yeah, it sounds like it must have been a restaurant, a bar. It must have been something like that before with this little...
I like the mezzanine upstairs. It's kind of cool. And you can listen. You can listen. Well, you know, especially if they're talking about the kind of business they're going to be in, being upstairs and listening to the patrons downstairs having a drink. may not be such a bad thing.
Once they get going, they're going to have to put one of those big, you know, those big espresso machines.
That looks
like, you know, it's a big production line.
Yeah, looks like a refrigerator.
Yeah. Oh, this is great.
Yeah, this is great. I can't wait to hear more about.
So they're setting up shop to work with Laurent to deal with these counterfeiting and sort of
other cases that come in.
Yeah.
Whatever those might be.
Wow. I'm excited.
Yeah, I can see the place. And don't forget the tin sign.
That's right. I love it when she gives us a lot of descriptive elements. You know, she shares a lot of descriptions about, you know, the wood or the whatever it is.
Yeah, she's very good about
that. The brass chain on the corkscrew on the wine barrel.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. Okay.
Don't forget the bread lady with the little pain beignet.
Ooh. Yeah.
We are in a new place. We're in France. Yay.
Post-pandemic.
Let's all go. So we'll see you there.
Well, yes. In the next episode, we'll see you when we're
back at the mic.